with me in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. We opened up our new Bible class this past Wednesday, a deep dive into the Bible. And the opening session I felt was a very good session. It was very strong. When I left, or when the Bible class was over, I talked to some of the people that were in it. And they were just very motivated and very enthused about what they had heard. And they were just anxiously looking forward to the next session. And so I left the church that night on a spiritual high. I was happy that the service went well. I was happy that the people received. And I was just happy in the Holy Ghost. And when I woke up the next morning, my wife said, "Wow, the Bible class last night, it was really good." And so Thursday morning just continued right along that same mindset, just on the mountaintop with God. And through the course of Thursday, I shifted from the mountaintop to deep down in the valley somewhere. As I began to experience what you can only call a bad day. How many's ever had a bad day? It was just a bad day. Right after this spiritual high, here comes a bad day. And then Friday was the same, and Saturday was no different. Just one right after another, just bad day after bad day after bad day. Now, I've walked with the Lord roughly 38 years. I pray, I seek God, I'm read His scriptures, but you can still have a bad day. Amen. Now, it's important for me to share that with you. When I was coming up in church as a young Christian, I would have a bad day. I was in a holiness church. And if I had a bad day, I would look at everybody else and see people that were perfect. And my pastor would, he would act like he was perfect. And everybody was acting perfect. And I thought I was the only one struggling. And I want you to know this morning, you are not the only one struggling. Every person who is in Christ is going to have bad days. The trick is don't fumble and fall all over yourself. If you're going to fall, fall forward. Fall forward into God's arms. And so this morning I want to share some of the scriptures that I had to share with myself just to bring my mind back into perspective, because sometimes these bad days, they can hit so severely and so often that you lose perspective. You lose your spiritual equilibrium. And for a moment you wonder, what is going on? Has God forgotten about me? I mean, has His love turned into hate? What has happened? And so these scriptures have helped me through the years, not just this week, but through the years, to bring myself back into alignment with the mind of God when you've had a bad day. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Now, Peter had some bad days. We know that this man had terrible days. He had one day so bad that God Himself spoke to him and said, "This, Jesus is my beloved Son, hear Him." That means hush. God from the Shekinah glory cloud told Peter, hush. He had another bad day where Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's a bad day. He had another bad day when he had just said, "I would never forsake you," that he forsakes him three times in a row. And so Peter's someone that can help us to understand what it is to move through a trial. And he says in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the offering that we're receiving today. Lord, all through the day, no doubt the saints will give in support of the kingdom of God. We thank you for these precious saints. We ask you that you'd give us wisdom and knowledge on how to be more efficient with the money that we have as a resource to the kingdom. And we ask you that you would bless the people here in the worship room, across the online experience, that you would bless them and help them. And Lord, that you would prove to them that their giving, Lord, is supported by you in heaven. Open the windows of heaven and pour upon them more than they're able to receive. Father, I ask you to help me with this message. Help me to hit the right tone and the pour out my heart and to show the people, God, that you've given me, that I might recover myself. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. Peter says, beloved, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. The word strange means don't think that it's something that you should not have already expected. If you're a child of God, you are going to have times of testing. You are going to have times of trial. And don't be surprised in the middle of the test if you don't hear God. Because when the student is taking the test, the teacher is always silent. And so there are times that God allows the test to come upon our lives for two reasons. One, so that we can see what we have. Number two, so that we can see what we don't have. So we can understand exactly where we are in our walk. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it was anything to be unexpected or unusual. When the fiery trials, now notice Peter didn't just say the trials, he said the fiery trials. The word fiery, it adds the notion of intensity, of an intense, a severe trial. And as I shared with you a moment ago, sometimes these trials are not an hour long. Sometimes these trials can go over days, weeks sometimes. But he said, but don't think it's strange when the fiery trial comes upon you, which purpose is to try you. The word try is test. The purpose of God bringing that trial, allowing that trial to come upon you, is to test you, to put you to the test. And you know, sometimes the trials can be diverse. There can be many of them. It's almost like when you were in high school and you took a multiple choice test. All the questions were multiple choice. Do you ever notice it's not the same question over and over and over? Every question is different. That's how the trials come upon our life. The tests come upon our lives sometimes. He says, don't think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trials, which is to test you as though some strange thing happened just to you. As though something happened to you that you would not have expected. It could maybe happen to him, maybe it could happen to her, but somehow we sometimes exclude ourselves from going through that which is common to Christians. Come on, somebody talk back to me this morning. Am I the only one that ever has a bad day? Am I the only one that ever needs to go to Peter and say, Peter, how did you get through your bad days? Am I the only one that sometimes thinks it's a strange thing when the trial comes to my life? No. They're common. As a matter of fact, whatever you're going through right now, there's a handful of other Christians going through the exact same thing that you're going through. So he said, don't think it's strange as though some strange thing happened to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says to the Corinthian church, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Now understand this. What Paul is saying is it's not just you. It's not just me. I wonder if you looked at the whole spectrum of Christianity on the planet today, I wonder how many saints had a bad day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I wonder how many there were. No doubt there would be thousands, tens of thousands. So Paul says, there is no temptation, no trial, no test that's taking you but such as is common to man. Meaning that your trial, people have gone through it before you. And your trial, people will go through it after you. But God is faithful. Yes, he is. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. And with every temptation, God makes sure that he provides an off-ramp. In other words, you don't just go into the trial and you're just stuck there. God's got already an off-ramp, a way of exit for you, that when you go through enough of that trial, the exit becomes obvious and you take the off-ramp. But the trial that you're going through, the test that you're going through, is common to men. is common to Christians. As a matter of fact, if you look at the trials that have occurred all through the church age, you will find that the trials that you and I go through here, especially in the United States, they're not that much. They're not that difficult. There's many places in the world you could lose an arm, you could lose a leg, you could lose your head. You can lose your life for the purpose of Christ. And so the trials that we go through, they're very common to men. They're happening all over. Don't let Satan isolate you. He will work in your mind to isolate you, to make you think that you are the only one going through that particular trial. And many times we're so self-absorbed, we see our trial that we don't see how absolutely light it is. This past week, I had to go visit someone that is sick and has been sick for years. And the husband confided in me that this person has not gotten out of the bed in close to a year. The muscles are beginning to atrophy. There's a danger of organs shutting down. And this is a person that loves God with all their heart. Shocked me right out of my bad day. All of a sudden, my mind left from me and my situation, and I begin to pour out for this beloved child of God. But many times we look at our trials and they're intensified because we're so self-absorbed. Well, it's so much about me, I, my. And I found this out. Here's the biggest three devils in the world. Me, myself, and I. Those guys are not your friend. You shouldn't even run with them. You should run with Christ. Amen. You should fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Paul says to Timothy, he'd given Timothy a forewarning, and you look at Paul's life. Paul was educated. Paul should have lived his entire life in the lap of luxury. He was well-to-do. That's the only way he could have afforded the education that he had. But as God began to take Paul's life and he began to perfect him, Paul went from prison to prison. He went from one public beating to another public beating. He sat in a Philippi jail and he wrote the book of Philippians chained to the wall, and he gave encouragement to the entirety of the church over the last 2,000 years because God took him out of his comfort zone and put him in a place where he could actually be developed. And Paul said to Timothy, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to suffer persecution. There are going to be trials. Now, in this country, so much we're not physically persecuted. There's some, but it's pretty light at this point. But there is spiritual persecution, where the devil and the powers of darkness, in cohorts with the indwelling sin nature, is doing everything they can to cause you to become disappointed and discouraged and give up. See, that's what all the devil is trying to do in every one of our lives is get us to give up. I don't care how bad a day you had. I don't care how bad a week you had. I don't care what the situation is. You never give up on Jesus. I don't care if you're dead and buried and by now you stinketh. Don't give up on Jesus. He's still got an answer. Amen. He's still got an answer. So Paul said, Timothy, listen, every person that lives godly in Christ, they're going to go through some things. And you and I are no exception to the rule. There are things that we'll go through. Now, sometimes it can be the devil fighting. How many know God will back up and let the devil buffet you? Yes, he will. It's common. He did it to Job. It's very common. There's other days that the devil and the powers of darkness will just go after you to bring you off the mountaintop because you're in a place. Then there are other times that the indwelling sin nature begins to flame up and just cause you to step left when you should be going right. All of these different ways you can lose your perspective. And you can have a mindset that what is the use? I've heard it so many times from Christians that just give up. Just give up. Listen, here's something Brother Lauren taught us years ago. He said this, I caught it and I never gave it up. You don't have to. You should always try to win every battle. But you don't have to win every battle. When Jesus comes back, you just have to still be fighting. You have to still be just putting up a resistance. But don't lay down and just let the devil have you. Amen. Get up. If you made a thousand times you made that mistake, well, 1,001 is going to be your victory. The Bible said, let the weak say they're strong. Amen. You just keep confessing, Jesus died for me, and he's going to sanctify me. He's going to perfect me. He's going to glorify me. And I'm not looking at all of my antics. I'm looking at the greater one. The old commentator said, look away from your 10,000 failures. And look to the head of your high priest. He has a mitre on with a gold plate in it that says, holiness unto the Lord. Jesus is your holiness. Hallelujah. In times when you falter, you fail, Jesus is your holiness. It can be a bad attitude. It can be any number of things. I'm not even going to begin to name them. But Jesus is our salvation. And because we're hidden in Christ, you're not just in Christ. You're hidden in Christ. So when God looks your direction, he sees his son in all of his perfections. See, when you look at me, you're not looking at my little fingernail. You're looking at me. And you and I, we're just members in that body. And he's our perfection. Again, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. He's helping us work through trials. He's helping us work through those times that we just fail God. We fail ourselves. We're just not all that we want to be. And he says in chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. The word sober, it means to be clear-minded. It means to see with clear eyes what the situation is. Don't lose your spiritual balance and not know where you are. Look with, be clear-eyed. Be vigilant. It means that you need to stay on your guard at all times because Satan can hit you like that. Amen. You can be on the mountaintop just like that. Things can change. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because, here's the reason, because your adversary, the devil, the fallen angel Lucifer, whose name is Satan, who is represented as the devil, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you got to understand something. Satan is your adversary. He's my adversary. He's not God's adversary. God ain't got no adversaries. He's too big. He's too powerful. Who could contend with God? Lucifer is a created being just like you and I are. But so he's our adversary, not God's. He's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, meaning he may not have anyone to devour. He's looking for which one can I devour. And which one is that? The one that's not clear-eyed and alerted. You know, watching the National Geographic, when that lion gets close to that herd, it dips down low and them shoulders come up and it's down in the grass. And the little ones, they're just in the pride, they're just walking around, they don't know, and the lion is snipping in. He's getting lower, and he's slipping in on them. And all of a sudden, you got this little baby over here that's not clear-eyed, and not vigilant, and in a moment's time, that lion is on them and he's got them. That's what Satan is doing every single day to each one of us. And as I said, I walked with God for 38 years. I know how this works, but it can still happen. It can still happen. Because as you grow in Christ, the trial grows. The tests grow. Nobody in the 12th grade still takes first grade tests, right? As you mature in Christ, God makes sure that the test matures with you so it will continue to challenge you and to mature you. And so sometimes Satan will slip in, even on an aged saint. I had a brother that used to go to this church. He went on to be with the Lord. The most godly man that you could ever think of. I mean, this man just, you could just look at the way he walks and you could see his godliness. And he told me one time, he said, I got a problem with temper. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? That sounds strange. He said, no, sometimes I can have a flare-up of temper. He said, one time I dropped my pocket knife and it went under the bed. And I blew up. And this man, he's probably been saved almost as old as I am. So you can be an aged saint in God, but don't think you're beyond. Don't think that you're beyond. Don't think it a strange thing when it happens to you. Hallelujah. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist him steadfast in the faith. In other words, it means don't give in and don't give up. Someone said, well, I'm in a fiery trial and I'm just burning. What do I do? Burn. Amen. Burn. Because God sits as a refiner and he dips us in the fire. And it burns all of the dross out of our lives. It burns all of the impurities out of us. What do I do? Just sit there and wait on God and just burn. Praise God. So I said, well, that's not encouraging. I'm sorry, that's the route. I mean, that's the route. If you want to be pure gold, you got to be tried in the fire. And sometimes it's fiery trials that come upon us. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, that's a difficult phrase to at least it is to me, to what are you talking about? If you were to look at the world and those that are in the world furthest away from God. If you were to look at, let's just say, the alcoholic at death's door, the eyes are yellow with jaundice. The body organs are shutting down. Alcoholism has put them at death's door. If you look at the people in many of the cities in California that are doing this, I don't know what this drug is, but it makes them zombies. They just stand around like this for an hour. And they're standing for blocks. All you see is people standing like that. Some kind of zombie drug. If you look at the people that are confused about their sexuality, am I a boy or a girl? Nope, I'm neither. I'm in between. Or I'm a boy, but I'll be a girl now. I'm a girl, I'll be a boy. When you look at all of that, what you're looking at is the same afflictions accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Meaning that Satan would desire to do this to any of us. Any of us. You're not special. Amen. I learned this the hard way, saints. You and I, because we're born again, we're not special. I'm going to share this with you. It's embarrassing. As a young Christian, I don't know, I wasn't quite saved 10 years yet, 25 and 10 years, I was still dabbling with dope. Still certain dope, I was just dabbling. And it was becoming a problem in my life. And I remember somebody saying, brother, you need to, it was a street woman, didn't know I was saved. She said, Red, you need to leave that alone. You need to leave that alone. And here's what I said. I can't get addicted. I've got the Holy Ghost. That's what I thought. I thought God had a special place for me. It's right before I got addicted. I said that. 7 years. Amen. So you and I, we're not special. We have to follow this book. And if you're having a bad day, it's just like if you get in the street, if you get into a street fight, how many been on the streets ever? Know what it is. And the person knocks you down to the ground, they're getting ready to stomp on your head if you don't get up. Now, where do you think the street brother learned that from? Kick him while he's down. He got that from his daddy, the devil. And if you have a falter, if you fall, you better scramble back up to your spiritual feet as quickly as you can, because Satan will kick you right in the mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think it not a strange thing when the fiery trials come upon you to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Amen. It can happen to any of us. And here's your answer right here. Someone said, well, I was already reading more. As I said, the trials, they graduate progressively more difficult. Say, well, I was already studying. Study more. Amen. That's how we get through them. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you this morning that you've given us your words in a book. Lord, that you've given us what cannot be taken away. And that you've given us instruction, Lord, how to fight the spiritual battle. Not thinking it's a strange thing, but understanding it's common amongst mankind. Father, we come to you now for all those that may be struggling in the room, those that may be struggling in our online audience. And we ask you, oh God, that you would motivate us to return to prayer, to return to scripture, to return to our studies, to go deeper in prayer, deeper in the word. God, that we might draw nigh unto you. Come on, all over the room. Would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? I don't know where you're at, but I know every one of us has trials more than we would care to admit. And right now, why don't you just reach out to the Lord and say, God, give me strength. If I'm going through a trial right now, give me strength, Lord, to persevere. God, if my trial is coming right on tomorrow, oh Lord, I ask you, give me strength, oh God, that I might persevere in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trial, that I might find the victory. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Just reach out.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just say thank you because your word says that even if we make our bed in hell, Father, that you are there with us. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, because there's nothing too deep, nothing too dark, Lord, that you cannot save, Lord. Your arm is strong, your arm is mighty, and your arm is good. So, Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the light that has come from the stage, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because we know, Lord, that even on our bad days, you're still a good God. Amen. Well, once again, thank you guys for being here, those that are here in person and those that are on the live stream. Just thank you once again. At this time, we're going to go ahead and worship real quick and giving. So if you haven't, let's go ahead and do so now. Also, on February 16th and 17th, we're going to have our first ever relationship seminar. Right, so that should be on the screen. So please do well and join us for that. That's going to be a 2-day time of just, you know, going through what God's plan for, you know, love and friendship is. And also, if you haven't sent us your email for your 2023 tax statements, please be sure to scan the QR code. Not sure if we have that up, but if we do, great. If we don't, it should be out on the screen out there as well. Well, With that being said, thank you guys for being here, and hopefully we'll see you for the next service in about 1 hour. If not, see you guys on Wednesday. Have a good week.